In preparation for this morning's lesson, I'll be reading from Luke chapter 12, verses 15 through 21. And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid upon for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thou soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be, which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth upon treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.
I want to thank everyone for their presence today. It's an obligation we have to the God, but such a privilege that we can come and worship the God of heaven. Can you hear me okay? Okay. Sometimes I forget the mic. I caught the mic cord and everything, so... We thank Ridge for his prayer this morning on what I say, and thank Austin for the reading this morning. I'm grateful to be here on time this morning, and I try to be every Lord's Day. Looked at the clock this morning, and it said 7-something, plenty of time. Looked at another clock, it says 8-something. I looked at 3 more clocks, and they said 8-something. I had my cell phone, and it said 8-something. And I thought, has the time changed already, and I don't know about it? Because it does it automatically, you know, on some phones and everything, and some it doesn't. And I was confused. I called my son, what time is it really today? He said it's 8 o'clock. Get ready to go to church. And so here we are today. So if you get confused a little bit once in a while, join the crowd. He said he thought it was next Sunday. People are up to date, maybe you know exactly when it is. You know, I forgot too also, this would be a good time to talk about praying for our government and kings and those that rule as the election is coming up. And that should be in our mind and... what we can do about it and vote and pray even to God that we might have a good government after this election. It says why? The rich man was foolish is what we want to discuss this morning. And Jesus called him a fool. You know the Bible says call no man a fool. But Jesus could and Jesus did. And he told him that he was a foolish person. The scripture says in Matthew, everyone that doeth these things of mine, everyone that heareth these things of mine and doeth them not, is a foolish man that built his house upon the sand. And we understand that. Why was he called a fool? And we have 3 or 4 points in the lesson. It'll be this morning. It'll be yours. Why did God call him a fool? Because he forgot God. You know, when you forget God in your life, you do it the greatest injustice that you can ever do in your life. And you know, people in the Old Testament knew about God's will and his law. God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. That's the conclusion of the whole matter. You know, when we forget the primary thing about it, then we are also called foolish people. Jesus uses the expression in Romans, the 1st chapter, and the 6th, and the 21st verse. He says these words, For the invisible things, is talking about how the world was made, the invisible things of him, that's of God, from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. You see the things that are made today, Did it just happen? Was it a boom like some people say and everything comes out perfect? No, when a boom happens, or I've dynamited in my past, and it just tears up things. You put it underneath the root of a tree and it just tears it up. But you know, when you understand the invisible things of Him from the creation, it's clearly seen by the things which are made today. How'd that tree get there? How come we're like we are? And how come, you know, the scripture points out the fact that God had made the earth, or He had set the earth. He'd made the earth without nothing. And I think that's impossible. You know, when we make something, if we make a car, we use the steel that's here to make something. But God, it says He hanged the earth upon nothing. He says later, and by His Spirit He hath garnished the heavens. When you see the sun, the moon, the stars, and all the planets that there, God has garnished the heavens. Did that just happen? And so it talks about this as it continues on, that we might understand by the things which are made, even His eternal power and Godhead. Because when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, and neither were thankful, and they became vain in their own imaginations, and their foolish heart was hardened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, the Bible says. So He uses the term fools at different times, and this is an expression that Jesus uses, the scripture uses. But said, when to call no man fool, but God can do that. And we are foolish when we fail to build our house upon the rock. We need to hear the sayings of Him. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's to be first in our life. To seek that first, these things shall be added unto you. Isaiah 55 says much of the same thing. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found, and call upon Him while He's near. And let the wicked forsake his ways, and the unrighteous his thoughts, that he may return to the Lord, and He will have mercy and abundantly pardon. A statement that was made in Matthew, that when Jesus had called the 12, He gave them power over unclean spirits and sickness and diseases, and it gives their names, the 12 apostles. And last it says, and Judas Iscariot, which also betrayed Him. You know, when you betray God, and you might call Him a fool, you know, when the scripture talks about the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God, the very last of that verse, it says, they are corrupt that would say that. They have done abominable work, and there's no good in them. When you would make a statement, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. That's the ultimate of things. But Jesus, when He called the 12, He said Judas Iscariot betrayed Him. You know, when He saw the very evidence of creation and what Jesus had done, and everything, He had everything to His disposal, and yet He rejected Christ. And you know, that's true of us today. We have everything, the evidence of His creation. We know about it. We read about the miracles to make believers. And He tells us how to be saved. You know, if we ignore that and we betray that trust, what is there left for us today? In closing on this point, a lawyer came to Jesus tempting Him and said, which is the first and the great commandment? And he expected to catch Jesus in something. But Jesus said, what saith the scripture? The Lord, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all the mind and thy soul. He mentions those things. And then He says to love your neighbor as yourself. So we have an obligation to other people. The first commandment was back here. The second is like unto it, that thou shalt love thy neighbor. He says, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. If you do this, do what God has said, and you treat others accordingly, then we have the hopes of heaven someday. Another account of the rich man and Lazarus is found in Matthew, the 25th chapter. And it talks about there in that particular way, it was the rich man and Lazarus. And why was the rich man condemned? Because he failed to think about other people. You think about the Lazarus that would like to have the crumbs that fell from his table, and rather dogs came and licked his sores. He wasn't thinking about other people. Do you think if you don't think about other people that you might be condemned? I think the scripture helps us out in that. Matthew 25th chapter and verse 41. Then shall he say unto those on his left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. You know, hell wasn't prepared for man. It was prepared for the devil and his angels, and whoever would listen to the devil. For I was hungry, and he gave me no meat. I was thirsty, he gave me no drink. You know, I was a stranger, and he took me not in. I was naked, and he clothed me not. And I was sick and in prison, and he visited me not. And then shall they say unto him, Lord, when saw we thee a hunger, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall Jesus say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have not done it to one of the least of these, you have not done it to me. So if we don't do things for other people, then we haven't done it to God. It's just that simple. There are people along the way that needs help, that needs guidance, that needs clothes, maybe needs food. And we might make mistakes. And I know a brother that worked at Indianapolis, and a guy would be out there, and he'd be asking for food, and he'd be asking the next day for food. And he said what he was going to do. Well, you know, they don't follow up their story very sometimes, but when you give them according to the best you know, and the needs that they have, and the colder weather coming on, they might need a coat, and go visit them and show them your concern, and then you're doing God's bidding. We read in Timothy, the 6th chapter, and verse 17, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in certain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. I don't believe any of you folks are rich from the standpoint like this rich man was, but you don't have to have a lot of money to have the love of money is what will condemn us. You know, we start out maybe in life, and we want to make a goal of ourselves and make a little money, and that's all right. And sometimes we get knocked back on our feet sometimes. And that's all right too, but we don't like that too good. But anyway, he says there, but they that will be rich fall into a temptation and a snare. You know, people that's looking for money are trying to grab something like Naboth did in the Old Testament. He wanted to keep his vineyard, and Ahab wanted to take it away from him. He was greedy and everything. They that will be rich fall into a temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men's soul in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some have coveted after, have erred from the truth and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. He says if you do have money, that you do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to distribute and willing to communicate. And so the Bible tells us and warns us about that of being rich. Why was a man foolish? Because he didn't have real joy in his heart. And I think we can understand that when you read in Ecclesiastes, in the second chapter, and verses 1-3. I said in mine heart, go to now, and I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasure. This is Solomon speaking. And he said, behold, this also is vanity. I sought in mine heart to give much into wine, and yet acquainted my heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was good for the sons of men, which they should do under the sun all the days of their life. And so he says some things here that's interesting. I made gardens. I did great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me pools. And I put trees into a vineyard. I got me servants and maid servants. I had silver and gold and precious treasure, the treasures of kings. He says, and I had me men servants and women servants. I had men singers and women singers that delighted him and all sorts. And he says, and I was great, greater than all that were ever before me in Jerusalem. And whatsoever my eyes desired, I kept it not from them. I withheld not my heart from joy, and from my heart from rejoicing in all the labors that I had done. And then I looked on all the works that my hand had done, and labor, and I labored to do it all, and behold, it was all vanity and vexation of spirit. We understand that when you set out to do all these things, and to get joy in your heart, and he realized it was vexation. And that's what this rich man realized later on in life. The Bible tells us, count it all joy. James, the first chapter in verse 2, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation. And that sounds kind of, count it all joy, real joy, comes from overcoming Satan in this life. Because it adds patience and comfort unto us if we do it. Real joy comes when we serve the Lord of heaven. And not by the things that we can do with our hand. It's just material satisfaction and enjoyment we get from that. But real joy comes from serving the God of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you, persecute you, and say all manner of evil against you. And it says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Here is where you can rejoice. When people try to pin you up against Scripture and tell you you're not doing right, you don't know what it is to be saved. You don't have to do any work. You're saved by grace. And then you bring out, there is some work that you have to do. No, there isn't. And things of this nature, count it all joy when you win that battle. Be able to give an answer to every man that asketh you. In the 8th chapter of Acts, a person had real joy. They both went down into the water, the scripture says. And the spirit carried away Philip. And the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. That's the rejoicing that you can have. A lady in the church here said when her daughter obeyed the gospel, I didn't know a person could be this happy and this joyous. We all be the happiest people on earth and have that joy, that peace of understanding. And this man didn't really. And so we need to realize that the things that are here are kind of temporal. Luke, the 15th chapter. I say unto you, likewise, there is more joy in heaven over one sinner repents than 99 that doesn't repent. There's joy in heaven, and that joy should be on earth. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the river's water that brings forth his fruit in its season. His leaf also shall not wither. Something else that the man forgot was his soul. You know, that's something that the Bible tells us that we need to be conscious of is our soul, and he forgot about his soul. He talked about his soul, and after he had all the fruits and stuff that he couldn't put in his barns no more, he built greater, and then he would say to his soul, "Soul, take thine ease, eat and drink and be merry." You don't satisfy the soul with physical things. You satisfy the soul with godly things. No man can serve two masters. You have your riches over here, and that's what I aim to bring out to you. The man that said that you need to have God first in your life and then have others, the same man, Jesus said to him about those very things. And he said, Jesus said, if thou will be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And so the two things don't work together. Just because you have treasures here, that doesn't give you treasures in heaven. No man can serve two masters. You'll love the one, hate the other, hold to the one, despise the other. No man can serve God and mammon. It's understandable we're in this life that we need to work and make a living. But this should be first in our life is God. And then we need to have others. We need to have real joy in our heart. And then we need to prepare for our soul to meet God someday. My brother talking to someone he said he's ready to die. And my brother asked him if he'd obeyed the gospel. No, he hadn't. He said, you're not ready to meet your maker yet. That's certainly true, unless we've done God's will, unless we've heard him and listened to those things and placed our foundation on a rock, we're not ready to meet judgment in that last day. Another verse I was aiming to use, Romans 8 and verse 6, to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. What will a man give? What will a man gain if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Jesus said, how hard it is for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And in closing, why was the rich man foolish? He not only forgot God in his life, he forgot other people. These things could save his soul. And you know, the rich man, he didn't care about Lazarus. And Jesus said, you receive the good things of life and he the evil things. Now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And so he never saw real joy. The rich man never did. He had prepared for his soul, and he hadn't prepared for death. It's appointed unto once to die, and after this is the judgment. You and I have an appointment someday with death. And this man had an appointment with death. He had prepared to live more in this life and made no preparations for the next life to come. And we need to prepare. This, God said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee, and whose shall these things be? James said, for as ye know not what shall be on the morrow, what is your life? It's even a vapor that appears a little while, and then it vanishes away. The life that we have here, the psalmist says, for we spend our days as a tale that's told. Talked about how it's just a small time. It's a hand's breadth, the Bible says. Amos, God's talking to them. Thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, because I will do this unto thee. Prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. As the prophets worked so hard to get the people to understand what they needed to do, here Amos is also saying this same thing. This will I do to you, because I will do this to you, prepare, O Israel, to meet thy God. God begged his people with outstretched arms to come unto him. The New Testament says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. The Bible says that he's the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. You know, we need to obey him, and of course we need to hear him. This is the work of God, that ye hear the Son of God. You know, you and I have to work. This is the work of God for you to read your Bible, to understand what it says, to hear and then apply it into your life. The Bible talks about whosoever shall confess me before men, I'll confess before my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 10 and 31. And the Bible says, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. And a lot of people doesn't understand completely that God is willing and able and wants to forgive you your sins. There's one verse in the Old Testament, as well as other verses. Let the wicked forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and the Lord will have mercy upon him, and to our God, and he will abundantly pardon. God is willing. And you think about when Jonah went to Nineveh, he pardoned those people. Up in the thousands of people, he pardoned because they repented. And so God's plan of salvation is for us. Are we willing to do it? Are we willing to do the work of God and listen to what his word said? He that heareth these sayings of mine and does them is like a man that builds something on a foundation, a rock. He tells us what we need to do, that we need to repent of what we've done in the past. Every one of us has made mistakes. And I tried as a youngster, what mistakes? Yeah, I begin to see my mistakes oftentimes. And I need to confess him. And that doesn't mean saying that Jesus Christ is the Son of God only. But you also need to put him first in your life. You'll make him first in your life. And then to be baptized, and then to live faithful life in him. While we together, we stand and sing God's invitation, and it comes to us. In Matthew's 11th chapter, Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. While together, we stand and sing.